Yes, amen. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you will, tonight to 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. If you're willing and able, if you will, just where you are, stand in reverence of God's Word. Just want to read a few scriptures tonight, and I'll have you be seated again if you're willing and able to be able to do so. 1 Peter chapter number 5 is where we are tonight. We're going to start reading and picking up, starting in verse number 6. 1 Peter chapter number 5. The Bible says this: humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Father, I love you. And I sure thank you for the word of God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be able to come tonight. And Lord, as we've already met with you, Father, we've already requested of you, Lord, for you to be able to meet with us. Father, I pray that tonight, that Lord, that you would bind Satan. Father, I pray that you would touch your people. And Lord, I don't know without any question. I have no idea what everyone needs tonight. Lord, there's some that's going to be on a mountain and there's some that's in a valley. And Lord, there's some that's in the middle of those two. They might be on their way down, or Lord, they don't know it. They might be on their way up. But Lord, wherever we are tonight, Lord, I know that you know. And Father, I pray that, Lord, that you would hide me behind the cross. And God, that you would truly touch me and help me and empty me of myself. And God, be able to use me as your vessel to be able to speak to your people, to where, God, they don't hear me or hear an outline, but God, they hear from you. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would change me tonight. No matter how young or old, Lord, I pray that the Word of God would be able to speak life to them, to be able to help them where they are in their situation. Lord, I thank you for the churches that are here tonight represented. Lord, I thank you for Pastor Rudy and his wife, and Lord, this church. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the way that God keeps on going for the glory of God. But Lord, I pray for especially just tonight that, Lord, we would literally just turn our minds away from everything in this world and God, focus on you. Lord, help me. Use me. Help your people in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. 1 Peter chapter number 5. When you come to this chapter, you look there in the verses that we read. One of my favorite words in all of the scriptures found in verse number 10. When we said those words, one of the words that we came along was the word settle. And I say that because tonight as we look back, I don't think I need to be relevant by looking in 2020 that I would dare say that many of us, that's what we long for, is to be able to have that life that is settled. I like it when my marriage is settled. I like it when my money is settled. I like it when the church is settled. I like when things seem to be settled in our life. And a lot of times, people don't always want to admit that. But the reason why we feel that way is because we don't like it when things seem to be uncertain. We don't like it when things seem to be uprooting. We don't like those things in our life. But I'm glad that we can know without a shadow of a doubt that tonight that the Lord can settle some things. If you believe that tonight, say amen. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, chapter number 119 and verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. I'm glad tonight to be able to know that as the world changes, as things change, I'm glad that I've got the word of God, that it will never change. Amen. And just as the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I'm glad that though I might not be a perfect man, that there's a God that through his word that he can help me to be able to live right and do right, to be able to please him. But it's because the word of God is settled tonight, and I praise the Lord for that. But not only is the word of God settled, but the Bible also says in Colossians 1:23 that if you continue in the faith and settle, notice these words, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of gospel. In other words, you can know without a doubt that you're saved by the grace of God. And I'm glad that it's not settled in my church membership. It's not settled in the way I got baptized. It's not settled in my bank account, and it's not settled in my name. I'm glad that it's settled just as we sang a while ago, in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the things that are settled in our life tonight. But as much as I love that word settled, And I would love to be able to speak on the word settle tonight. I'm not interested in that word. I'm interested in a word that you find in the same verse. And I want you to notice what it says after. After. The reason why that ain't a favorite word to me is because what it means is after you have suffered a while, we like the settling part, we like the establishing part, we like the strengthening part, we like the mountaintop, but it's that after you suffered a while. In other words, there's going to be some things that we got to go through before we could ever be settled, before we could ever be strengthened, and before we could ever become what God wants us to become. It's going to be some things that we must face in our life tonight. And I want to tell you that 2020 was not in vain. God knew everything that had happened in 2020. God knew happened in His country. He knew what happened with all the sickness. God knew everything. But God also knew for God to ever do what He needed to do in His children, for God forever to do what He's going to do in His churches, He had to get us to a place to where we would suffer a while so God could teach us some things. And I want to ask you tonight, do you believe that God is still in control? I'd propose to you tonight that the same God, listen to me, who settles, unsettles. Yeah, right. And I want to remind you tonight that no matter what your flesh tells you, and no matter what the life you live tells you, no matter how hard it may be, the same God that settles is the same God that unsettles. And I praise the Lord tonight to be able to know that He's still in control. We want everything ironed out. We want everything taken care of. We want it to be easy. But you know what? As soon as we get things ironed out, as soon as things turn out to be just the way we think they need to be, it's going to be the very next day something's going to happen in our life again. And then we're going to get right back down saying, God, what in the world are you trying to do? But we're going to have to learn that the same God who settles is the same God who unsettles. Some of you may know a great missionary by the name of Hudson Taylor. As he began to serve the Lord, just as other older pastors and many of you, just like me, being a young preacher, there'd be times that we would go look at older men of God and we would seek for truth for them. We would talk to saints and different things. Well, Hudson Taylor was a man that he had invested in young missionaries. And there was a day when this young missionary had came to him and he sat down with him and he sat back and he looked at him with a cup of tea and they sat there on that table. And he began to ask him for some advice and different things in his life. And he was starting off on a new journey for the work of God. And he was trying to be able to serve the Lord, but he wanted Hudson Taylor to be able to tell him something, to be able to help him as he went along. Here they sat there and those teas were sitting across and those glasses and those cups of teas were sitting there, and Hudson Taylor began to speak to this young man. In the midst of it, with everything being silent, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Hudson Taylor smacked that table and everything began to startle the young man. His eyes looked up and tea began to come out of the cups, and he said, "You listen to me." He said, "When the winds of life begin to come at you and you begin to serve God in the work of the Lord, when the blows come and they hit you when you serve God, only the things that are on the inside is what will come on the outside." And what I'm trying to tell you tonight is there's a lot of things that you and I are going to go through. There's a lot of things that you and I are going to face. But the more that we listen to the Word of God and the more that we apply the Word of God, when we strengthen ourselves in the darkest hour of the night, then you know, just as they sing, that when light comes and when dark comes, it makes no difference, because we never forget what God teaches us, because God always reveals us the same God that unsettles is the same God that settles. Let me give you a few things tonight. Just thinking about this unsettling, first of all, I want you to know that there's a principle. If you're in the habit of writing things down, you can write this down. There is a principle. What is that principle? That God always brings the settling after the unsettling. See, the principle is God don't ever give you the settling before the unsettling. He always has to unsettle you. Why? Because God always makes His people different than what the world does. Sometimes we think, "Lord, that's not fair. That's not the way it needs to be. Lord, I don't understand." But God says, "No, I got to put you here, because God is not looking for us to be able to have an outcome to be able to change us. The Lord wants us to be able to draw ourselves to Him, to be able to trust Him no matter what we're facing." And that is the principle, that God always settles after He unsettles us. I want you to turn back a few chapters in chapter number 1, and you'll see what I'm saying here. As he begins to speak, Peter is now speaking in verse number 1 of chapter 1. He says this. He says, matter of fact, let's go over a little bit further. He says in verse number 1, the latter part of it. I apologize. He turns over here. He says these words. He says, my mind just went. He says, "Peter," he said, "an apostle of Jesus Christ," notice these words, "to the strangers scattered." Now listen, when you look at that, here he is. He's talking to the children of God. But the truth be told, as though he's talking to them, they seem to be strangers. Wait a minute, that don't seem to be right. I should be the one that everything should be okay. But the Bible says they're like strangers. It's almost like they're outcasts, if you want to say it that way. And then the Bible says they're scattered. In other words, they're not in one place. They're moved around, and they're in a place where they're out of their comfort zone. Have you ever been in that place in your life where it seems like you're out of your comfort zone? Lord, I don't know what to do right here. I don't know how to respond right here. I feel like I should be in the midst of everything that's going right, but Lord, I feel like I'm scattered and I'm pulled apart, and Lord, I just don't know what to do. And then soon after that, he says, just as he said a few minutes ago when we read verse number 7, when you feel scattered and you feel like strangers and you feel like you're in the unsettling place of your life, he says, remember verse number 7, casting all your care upon him. Can I tell you tonight that there's going to come some times that you're going to feel like you're scattered. There's going to come some times where you're going to feel like you're come apart. There's going to feel some times that you feel like you're an outcast. And there's going to be some times that you feel like you're a stranger when you should fit in, but you don't fit in. You don't know what to do. And it seems like you don't have it together, but everybody else does. You're going to wonder, Lord, what are you doing? I want you to remember that God always unsettles before he settles. Is this not the way that the Lord works? If you look through all the scriptures, you look at Noah. Have you ever studied the Bible? When you look at Noah's life, can you see Noah for a moment? I mean, here he was. He was a family man. He was a hard-working man. But then all of a sudden, in the midst of it all, God says something to him that's unsettling. He says, Noah, there's going to be a flood. It's going to come. Can you imagine what this man began to feel like? And then after that unsettling, he began to do exactly what God had told him to do. And then after he had suffered a while, what happened? God used Noah in a great way to be able to help us today. It's because God always settles after he unsettles. What about Joseph? Can you see him for a minute? Can you picture him for just one second? You know, the young man, the teenage boy, the one with a coat of many colors, by the way, the one that's loved. The one that seems to have the dearest of his father, and it seems like everything's going right. Matter of fact, that coat gives him identity because it makes him somebody. But then in the midst of everything being just right, something unsettling happens. Before you know it, he's stripped of that coat. He loses his identity. He's cast down in appearance. He's pushed away. He's falsely accused. And he's wondering, what in the world is happening in my life? God was unsettling him. And after the unsettling in his life, after he had suffered a while, there wasn't long after that that his family comes to him in a famine. And God used him in a great, mighty way. And then we read in chapter number 50, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. I'm glad that God always settles after he unsettles in our life. But it don't stop there. What about David? Listen, I'm not sitting around meddling tonight. I'm trying to tell you this is a Bible principle. You don't need to hear my words. You don't need to hear a sermon. No, you need to know this is what the Bible teaches. David, here he was. He is anointed king. I mean, everything's great. Oil is put on his head and he's sitting there rejoicing. I mean, he knew what God was doing after he had overcome so much. But then something unsettling happens. The same oil that was put on his head turns to sweat. He's running back and forth cave to cave, trying to run from his life, because here he was, the same David that defeated Goliath, the same David that had confidence and knew that God was real and God was faithful, that same David that had served Saul and was faithful is the same David now that's on run for his life. But after he suffered a while, God settles him to sit on his throne. What about Mary and Joseph? A young girl, pure, completely different location than this young man that she's about to be married to, espoused to, by the name of Joseph. And literally the Lord comes to them and says, you're getting ready to have a child. And they never had even been together. You said, how's that unsettling? I mean, can you imagine what the shame must have felt like? I mean, here she was pure, she had lived her life right, and everything was okay, but now all of a sudden she gets news that something's about to happen, people's going to see her, she is about to birth a child. Do you know the shame that probably came to her? Because they did not understand what God was doing through her. See, sometimes the unsettling comes when the Lord says something to you, look at me, nobody else will ever understand.
And you know that God puts it in your heart. You know that that's what God tells you to do. But even though you know that, there's an unsettling, and it settles down inside of you and it makes it uneasy. You say, Lord, I don't know what to do. But after she had suffered a while, her and Joseph is known and honored as some of the greatest parents that we read about in the Word of God. Are you with me tonight? What about Peter? I want you to see these Bible characters. You remember Peter? You remember reading the story where he comes up and he says, Lord, I'll go with you anywhere. Lord, I love you. I'll go to the ends. I'll never turn back. I'll die with you. I mean, he wasn't being cocky. Listen, Peter was not being arrogant. That wasn't his case. No, he was humble. He loved the Lord Jesus. He said, Lord, I'll do whatever it is that you want me to do. But then all of a sudden, the unsettling begins to come in. And the Lord Jesus looks at you, looks at him and says, Simon, Simon, behold. In other words, that word behold means look at me. In other words, look me in the eyes. I'm about to tell you something that's going to shake you to your core. He said, Satan had desired to sift you as wheat. But Lord, I said, I'll go with you to the end of the world. I said, I would die with you. Lord, I love you. He said, yeah, but there's going to be some unsettling. And that same Peter, after the unsettling in his life, is the same Peter we see God use in the day of Pentecost. Because the principle is that God always unsettles before he settles in our life. God does his greatest work after the unsettling. I want you to notice in verse number 9 what the Bible says there. There's a word that you and I may not like, don't like to talk about. The Bible says this in verse number 9. He says that there was just steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same, notice this word, afflictions. Oh, I'll be honest with you, friend, I don't like afflictions. And I'll be honest again, I don't even know that if I could be Peter and the Lord would look at me and say, Satan had desired to sift you as wheat. I mean, it would make me tremble to be able to think of if God's going to allow something to be able to happen to my wife or to my son or to my own personal life. I don't know how I would respond if I was Peter when I begin to find out that there's going to be afflictions that's in my life. Listen, you might be a spiritual giant tonight. And you might be great. You might have your spiritual cape on tonight. And that's wonderful. Praise the Lord that you feel that way. But listen, I still live in the flesh, and yes, my faith is strong sometimes. Hey, but I just want to say that when I know that there's going to be affliction, it's not always easy when I hear that news. But I've learned that God uses affliction sometimes as his greatest instrument. And the things that seem to hurt us help us. And the things that unsettle us, it actually settles us. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn over to Psalms chapter 119 for a moment. I want you to be able to see where this is real, what the Bible says here in verse number 67. Listen to these words as you turn your Bible there. The Bible says this, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. He says, but now, I wrote in my Bible beside the word but after. In other words, after I was afflicted, after I'd went through some things, after I had suffered. And then the Bible says in verse 67, now I have kept thy word. Hey, can I tell you something? There were some times in my life when the Lord told me something plain and it was black and white. And I didn't always learn the easy way. But I'm glad for the mercy of God that would teach me and he would allow me to go through some things to where I realized that it was not about me and I could not live this life because of me. That I had to lean on the Lord Jesus Christ. And after I was afflicted, I learned to trust the word of God. Not only that, I want you to look in the same chapter, verse number 71. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says this. It said, it is good for me. Do you hear what he said? It is good for me. He said, I'm testifying. It's good for me. Notice these words, that I have been afflicted. Now listen, friend, I've heard a lot of testimonies. But I don't hear a lot of people get up and say, it was good for me that I was afflicted. I don't see a lot of people get up and roll up their sleeves and say, let me show you some of these scars and begin to pull them sleeves up and say, look at this scar. Let me tell you about the goodness of God. I don't always see that. I see a lot of times us complaining about the tough times, us complaining about the trials, us complaining about the hardship. I don't see that. But he says in these words, it was good for me that I was afflicted. Notice why what he says, he said that I might learn the statutes. Verse number 75, read this and we'll move on. The Bible says this, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. He said, Lord, I trust you. I trust you, Lord. Whatever it is that you want to do in my life, Lord, I trust you. You know what I've learned? That God always, he always has to wound us before he heals us. One man said it this way, the greatest assurances in life always comes after the greatest doubts. Do you hear what I said? The greatest assurances in life always come after the greatest doubts. I mean, when you get to that place and you think, Lord, there's no way. And you know why? Because you and I have to stop. We have to realize I couldn't have done that by myself. And there's no way I could have fixed that. There's no way that the brethren could have fixed that. Only God could have pulled me through that valley. Only God could have took me through that storm. When I was weak and down and troubled in the midnight hour when I had no hope, only God can do that. And I want to tell you that God sometimes seems like that he's never there, but just because you can't see God, listen to me, does not mean that God don't see you. Because the greatest principle is that God always has to unsettle before he settles. Not only that, I want you to turn your Bibles, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter number 48. Not only do you see a principle here, but I want you to see a picture. In Jeremiah chapter number 48, verse number 11, God uses a word picture. Sometimes we read the Word of God and we see how the Lord does that. I want you to see the picture that he says here. Now, I'm not really interested in Moab, but I want you to be able to notice what the Bible says as he speaks about it. Moab had been at ease from his youth. And he had settled on his lees and hath not been empty. Notice this word, vessel to vessel. Neither had it gone into captivity. Therefore, his taste remained in him and his scent is not changed. God says, I can't do nothing with Moab. I can't get any glory out of Moab. I mean, listen, when you look at Israel, you realize that they had to go through so many things. I mean, you study the travel of Israel, the way that they had went through all the issues with Egypt and all the wilderness and all. I mean, it just seemed like back and forth, God was emptying them vessel to vessel. God said, because I was able to empty Israel vessel to vessel, I was able to be able to use them for my glory. But the problem with Moab is this, is they never, ever had to go through anything. They got a life of ease. Do you know what our problem, maybe let me just confess and not say our problem. Let me say what my problem is tonight. We want a life of ease. We want the marriage to be easy. We want the ministry to be easy. We want life to be easy. We want everything to be written out black and white. We want it easy. But you listen to me and I'll move on. Remember what I said? God don't make his people the same way the world does. If you want to be used great for God's glory, then you and I are going to have to be emptied vessel to vessel. We're going to have to go through some things. We're going to have to suffer some things. And all of 2020, when everybody's looking back and the world is looking at it and saying, that's a tough year. It was a hard year. It was a year of division. It was a year of sickness. It was a year of death. It was a year of confusion. It was a year of despair. It was a year of suicide rates being at all-time high. It was a year of divorces growing every single day. It was a year of ministers quitting and preachers walking away and throwing a towel. It was a horrible year. A child of God should say, no, the Lord was just unsettling us. The Lord was unsettling us because God teaches that he always settles after he unsettles. Not only do you see a principle and you see a picture, but I want you to notice this. There's a parallel. Notice, if you will, back in 1 Peter chapter number 5. You love the Lord tonight, say amen. Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 7. Notice what the scripture says again, if you will. The Bible says this. Casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. The Lord loves you. If you believe that, say amen. So what's the parallel? Notice in verse number 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. As sure as you're loved in verse number 7, listen to me, you're hated in verse number 8. As much as you are loved tonight by God, listen, there's a devil to hate you. He's got a target on your back. He's got a target on your ministry. He's got a target on your home. He's got a target on your children. He's got a target on your testimony. Are you listening to me tonight, church? And there's a parallel that sometimes we forget. We think when we get saved, we come to church and everything should be all right because we're serving the Lord. We're carrying a Bible. We're singing in the choir. We're lifting up holy hands. But see, we forget sometimes that there's a great parallel. As sure as the Lord loves us, there's a devil that hates us. And by the way, the devil don't hate us. He hates God. You know what I've learned? Some of the most probably the most dangerous times in our life are unsettling times. Let's be transparent for a minute. The most dangerous times in your life will be when the Lord unsettles you. That's where marriages begin to break the bond. Amen. Y'all stay with me tonight. That's where preachers begin to walk away because they're unsettled and they get out of the will of God because they think, I can't do this anymore. And you're right. You and I never could do it. And sometimes that's what the Lord teaches in unsettling. He teaches us that we come to this place, it's unsettling and it's a dangerous because we begin to listen to our mind. We find ourselves just like Elijah. You remember who Elijah was? He runs. Listen, he just had one of the greatest chapters of his life. He turns around in chapter number 19 and now he's sitting there listening to a woman and a man and he wants to give his life. I mean, he's running and he's talking to himself. He begins to answer himself and you wonder, why in the world are you responding this way, Elijah? How can you go from having the power of God on your life to now wanting to die and give up? How, Elijah? Because in his unsettling, he began to ask his questions. He began to answer his own questions. Why? Because unsettling brings dangerous times. Listen, when times get hard, quit watching the news. Quit asking the world and all your friends and the buddies that are not saved about marriage and your lady friends about being married and they're not saved. All these different folks, quit looking at everybody else and start looking unto Jesus. Amen. So in this parallel, what do we do in unsettled times? Notice, if you will, verse number 7. First thing I wrote this down, this is just a few things. Cast all your care on Him. And I wrote this down because when I'm unsettled, God never is. I got to cast it on the Lord. Lord, I got to trust you. Lord, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to trust you. Why? Because I learned, even though I'm unsettled, God, that don't mean that you are. I wrote down, not only cast all your care on Him, I wrote this down, guard against the devil. Why? Because the Bible says in verse number 8, that listen, that he's literally trying to devour you. Hey, look up here. When the Lord unsettles you, it's because he's trying to settle you. When the devil unsettles you, it's because he's trying to get you to quit. You better guard against the devil. Don't tiptoe. Don't give ear to the devil. The third thing I wrote down was this. Depend on the God of all grace. Verse number 10, the Bible says this. But the God of all grace, who have called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settled you. Do you notice what he says right there? After you have suffered a, what's that next word? Everybody say, wow. You know that word while is a time word. It means there's going to be a beginning, there's going to be an end. After you suffered a while, there's a duration of time. Here's what I've learned. Even in unsettling, just like everything else, it's going to come to pass. Keep your Bibles open. If I get my wife to come to the piano, and I'll be done in just a moment. It's not always easy trying to serve the Lord. Especially when everybody's watching you, and not only the world watching you, but even people in the church are watching you. They're trying to see how you respond to the news when you find out somebody has cancer, or somebody has, forgive me, COVID, when somebody loses their job, when somebody passes away. They're watching us as if we're supposed to be these giants in the faith, and we're supposed to be invincible. Can I tell you something? I'm still living in the flesh, and I get weak. The greatest thing that I have learned to do more recent in my life is to look at my 14-year-old boy and my wife of over 15 years and admit to them I don't always have the answers. I just say, God's unsettling me. I wish I could. This year, Pastor Rudy, I started sitting down with Nolan. We get up early in the morning and we go do some things and we'll exercise, but he don't really understand all the details right now, but I read the Bible to him. And it's because in 2020, I finally admitted that I knew that I had limitations. And one of these days, I wasn't going to be able to be there with my son and help him and protect him. Not only that, I also come to grips with myself that I am just a man, and I don't know anybody would ever say they're going to fail. God forbid that I ever mess up or do anything. But I don't want my son or my wife I don't want their spiritual appetite and life be dependent upon me only. I want them to see Jesus. And I began to read that scripture to my son because I know there's going to come a day. And I've told Nolan this. I said, Nolan, there's going to be some times in your life where you don't know what to do. But as a father, if all I could do is give you the word of God, when the unsettling time comes, you might not have the answer, but what you will know to do is keep listening to the word and keep listening to the Lord. Why? Because I'm not going to always be able to help him. And if he takes the word, and listen, there's been some times I had the word, but I wanted to hear the Lord. You ever been there? Like, I could read the word, but I wanted to hear the Lord. And all I could do is go back to this verse. After you have suffered a while, and in the middle of the night that seems to be so long. Have you ever been there? Where everybody else sleeps well, but you just can't seem to sleep. As a pastor, when my folk are sick and something's going on, and even like today, you know, I got some people that are going through some things. Even as a pastor, it's hard for me to rest easy because not only do I have a family and I have my own burdens, but I'm carrying their burdens. It's not always easy to rest well. With my wife or my son, sometimes I worry about them. There's times in my own life that the devil will get in my mind. And it's like I lay down on my pillow. And it's like I can hear voices coming out of my pillow. And I'm not trying to be crazy. I'm telling you, like, literally, that's how it feels sometimes when we sleep. And here's what it is. Look at me. Spiritual warfare. It's that unsettling that you begin to think, I can't do this anymore. Let me just be normal. Let me just go to church, sit on a pew, and lift up a holy hand. I've served the Lord. I've given everything. I've seen my family go through enough. I don't want to keep on going. But can I tell you something? That's the devil trying to trick you. You have to go back to the Word of God and realize after you have suffered a while. I just want to encourage you tonight, and I'll give you one more thing, and I'll be done. The whatever you're going through, whatever you just came through, or whatever might be in your 2021, I want to remind you what the Word of God says. It's only going to happen for a little time, and it's going to pass just like everything else does. It might seem like an eternity to you right now, and it might be hard. But the promise of the Word of God is after you've suffered a while, then you, right? Then you're going to be perfect. You're going to be established. You're going to be, Lord, I want that settling part. Lord, I want that strengthening part. God, I want to be settled. Lord, I want it so bad. And God says, I'm answering your prayer. What are you doing, Lord? Look at me. He says, I'm emptying you vessel to vessel. I'm making you usable. Hello, you hear me? I'm making you usable. I give you this last thing and I'm done. Not only in this unsettling do you notice that there's a principle. There's a picture. There's a parallel, but then lastly, there's a purpose. I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse number 11. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. There's a purpose. And that purpose is because God's not interested in you and I getting glory. God's interested in him getting glory. If I was going to be honest with you tonight, I would tell you that I want the things to be settled. I want things to be all right. I want everything to be okay. Matter of fact, if I have a staff meeting, if I sit down with my family, the reason why I'm praying with my son and sharing the word of God, and the reason why I try to minister to my wife is because I try to control the settling. Are you understanding? But see, there's going to come a day that if all I do is try to control everything, then I'm going to be the one that gets the glory. And God says, sometimes I got to take you to a place where you can't control it. I got to take you to a place where you don't understand. I got to take you to a place where you can't make no answers for all the questions. And the Lord says, because when you get to that place, that's the place that I get the glory. And here's the question you and I have to answer tonight. What are we more interested in? Are we more interested in a life of ease or a life that gives him glory? Because if you want to give God glory, listen to me, I love you. And it's not my church, but I love you, okay? But it takes a whole lot more than lifting up a holy hand. It takes a whole lot more than coming to church. It takes a whole lot more than paying your tithe. Sometimes it's going to take some of them scars. Where you can say, let me show you some things that I went through. But the God of all grace, amen. And you can testify and you can talk about the goodness of God and the mercy of God. But until we ever come to that place, God can't do it. So I want to ask you by invitation tonight. And we'll close. As you look back in your life and you see where you are tonight, who would make their mind up? Lord, I'm going to trust you when you unsettle things. Lord, I want to thank you. Some of you might be here tonight and you can look back. I'll be frank. In 2020, I can look back where the Lord unsettled this country and unsettled this world. I don't know what y'all call it down in Texas. There's a lot of things we call it back in North Carolina, but known as COVID-19 and shut a lot of things down. But can I tell you something? I don't think about all that. You know what I think about? I think about the way that the Lord stopped everything and literally it put me back in my office in my house. At moments where I got back there every day and I listened to the Lord speak again to me. I was able to admit to myself and to the Lord that I wasn't as spiritually strong as I thought I was. See, until the Lord ever unsettled me, I would have never known. Look at me. I was bitter because of the times that he had unsettled me before that. I've only pastored 9 years, been saved for about 16, 17 years. My 8 years of pastoring is very, very hard, a lot of hard times and tough times that sometimes people don't even know and don't even understand. But over that time, I learned to be callous to it. I learned to be able to minister and kind of go through. And I'd be busy, man. I would preach the word and I would study and I would do all those things. But there were some things that it affected me more than I let people know. And the Lord set me down and said, I unsettled you one more time to teach you that you've never got all the other times that I've had to unsettle your life. So maybe tonight you can just get around this altar and say, Lord, I want to thank you for your unsettling times. I want to thank you when you unsettle. Look at me. I want to thank you for when you unsettled my marriage. Because now we've learned to lean on you. Lord, I want to thank you when you unsettled my ministry. Because God, now I know it's not about me, it's all about you. Lord, those babies I've been praying for, I want to thank you for unsettling them. Because if you never would have unsettled them, they would have never drawn close to you the way. Some of you got some things not to pray about. Some of you got some things to thank God for tonight. Are you hearing me? But we're never going to make it on accident. If you're a young person, older person, let me say this to you now. You better make a conscious decision when the unsettling comes that you're going to trust that God will still settle you. Our Father, I love you. And I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, for the unsettling that's been in my life. But God, I pray that tonight that you would speak to your people. May this place be filled with a hearts of gratitude because of all the things you brought us through. No matter how long they've been saved or not, even 10, 15, 20 years, I pray we've never got over the way that you've brought us through some things that keep us close to your side. The beginning of this year and this January month, Lord, I pray that we would just gather around this altar and start saying thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you've been emptying me vessel to vessel. Thank you for emptying my marriage vessel, the vessel. Thank you, Lord, for helping me get through these things so that, God, that I can have a life that gives you glory and not just a life of ease. In Jesus' name, amen. She's going to sing a song of invitation. You stand to your feet, if you will, where you are. I'll have the pastor come in just a moment, but before I do, I wonder if she begins to sing. Would you come and get around this altar? Stop and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for not quitting. Thank you, Lord, for never losing faith in me. Thank you for having your hand upon my life in the darkness, in the midnight hour, down in the deep valley when I didn't even know. Lord, thank you for never quitting. You just mind the Lord tonight as she sings. Let